Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar, Trust Deeds 101, Using Real Estate as Collateral, featuring the Investor Source Private Funding Solutions. Before we get started, we do have a disclaimer that we have to read. NTrust does not provide investment advice, tax advice, or legal advice. We are not CPAs, attorneys, or financial advisors. We do not recommend or endorse any investments, products, or services. The information in this presentation is for educational purposes only. We do, however, recommend that you seek investment, tax, and legal advice before entering into any investments. All right, so for today's agenda, we're going to introduce NTrust and the Investor Source. We're going to speak about how to define trust deeds versus other asset classes, what sets trust deeds apart, making trust deeds loans yourself, making loans through a broker, investing in a pooled lending fund, what to look for in a lender, and at the end, we will have time for a little Q&A. You should be able to type your questions into the Q&A box, and we'll get to as many as possible. A little bit about myself. My name is Tony Uncle. I'm a business development manager at the NTrust Group. I've been with NTrust for a little over 4 years. And we pride ourselves in educating investors and professionals on tax-preferred retirement accounts. A little bit about the NTrust Group, if you're not familiar with us. We have been in business for 40-plus years, have empowered over 45,000 investors, have $4 billion in assets under administration, and NTrust provides you with one single point of contact, depending on your region. We are self-directed IRA administrators. We have all knowledgeable staff, with most of us holding CISP designations. We have nationwide offices. We host both in-person and virtual webinars, and we offer a national continuing education program for other credentials. What is a self-directed IRA? A self-directed IRA is a retirement account in which the individual investor is in charge of making all investment decisions. Self-directed IRAs provide a greater opportunity for asset diversification outside of traditional stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. All securities and investments are held in a retirement account administered by a regulated custodian or trustee. At this time, we would like to turn it over to David from the Investor Source. And he will talk you through the Trust Deeds 101.
Okay, thank you so much, Tony, and the NTrust Group. Sorry for the technical delay to get this presentation started. I'm glad we're all on now and look forward to being with you all for the next hour or so. I think it'll be an enlightening presentation for you all, especially we're in a time right now where we're facing economic headwinds. It hasn't been a time we've been in for many, many years, and investors are looking for the perfect investment. I don't know if there's such a thing as the perfect investment, but what I will say is that trust deed investments check the box of a lot of the things that you're looking for in an investment. I think right now it's really hard to find any investment that makes sense in some ways, but trust deed investing is one of those where, even though it is affected by market conditions, as are all investments, there are many, many, many advantages which you'll be seeing hopefully during this presentation, that you'll see that trust deeds just make sense where things are at right now with inflation and rising interest rates, a softening economy, even softening real estate values can actually still be an environment that works for trust deeds compared to like investing directly in real estate, where those softening real estate values definitely make a difference. So, please at the end ask any questions you have, and I think you'll enjoy what you see here and see this as a really good potential investing opportunity. So just as an introduction to what trust deeds are, many of you already probably are aware. Basically, it's a promissory note that is secured by a deed of trust or a mortgage, depending on what state you live in, or it can be called a trust deed investment. So it's a note and it's secured by real estate. That real estate can be anything from a construction loan to a fix and flip loan to commercial construction, a shopping center, apartment building. It runs the gamut. And actually, you could even invest in a consumer loan, like a primary residence. But I strongly recommend against that, because investing in residential real estate for consumer purposes carries a lot more regulation with it. There are licenses that are required for those type of loans, and you really don't want to get involved with consumer loans if you can all help it. Lenders like me and other private lenders and hard money lenders that you work with all work with loans made for business purposes, and that's what you really want to focus on. Loans are short term. Now, they could be any length of term, and that's really up to the lender that you're working with or the borrower who needs the funds from you. But in general, you would like to try to keep your loans short term. Generally, from 6 to 12 months are the length of term of loans that we make, and many of the lenders that also make these type of loans are doing short-term loans. It's good to turn your money over, and the shorter period of time that you have the loan, the less likely something, to be honest, is the less likely there is for something to go wrong with the loan. So you would like to make the loan, be successful and get out of it as quickly as you can. And it's not saying that these loans are not going to perform well. They do, but short-term loans generally work better than going into a longer-term loan. The loans are generally repaid by either flipping the property or selling it if it's a new property that you're building, or refinancing the property with a refinance. Loans are also generally in the first position. There's kind of a misconception about trust deed loans that they are in subordinate position to the first loan, and that's not the case at all. In general, you're making loans that are in the first position, and that's what you want to try to stick with. We have made loans in a junior position, but we have to make sure that the collateral is really strong. There's a lot of room in the loan to do a second or a third loan. Those are the ones you, in general, want to stay away from and try to limit your activities to loans being in the first position. As I said, I think this is a really good time if you're looking for an investment that makes sense to invest in trust deeds. There's a number of reasons for that. First of all, the returns are generally very high. You're looking at loans between 6% and 12%, and the returns basically mirror that. If you're investing in a loan fund, you can be looking at those same returns, 6 and 12%, or sometimes even higher than that. Nothing is guaranteed, but loans are made at a higher rate of interest when you're talking about trust deeds. And there comes a perception that that higher rate of interest is because the risk involved is so high. And that really is not the case at all that I've found in my almost 12 years now making trust deed loans. If you're either you, if you're making the loans yourself or you're working with a broker like my company, if the screening of the loan is done very thoroughly, as far as the value of the property, the amount of budget that's going to be needed to get the property to where it needs to be, if it's a construction or a rehab loan, if you check out the borrower really well, if you do take all the steps to make sure that everything is really in place, you are mitigating the risk. And I think the return versus the risk, or the risk versus reward, is actually very much in your favor. Security. All loans, as we've said, are secured by real estate. And it's kind of difficult these days to find any kind of investment that's really backed up by something. Yes, you can invest in the bank and you'll get FDIC insurance on that. But what kind of return really are you going to get from a bank? So to have an investment where it's being secured by real estate, that really means a lot, because there aren't many of those type of investments out there. Liquidity. I can't say the liquidity is the strongest element of a trust deed loan, but there is liquidity involved. Let's say you are considering investing in a fund, in a real estate fund that is a project-oriented fund where you're building a housing complex and you're investing directly in that versus making a loan. You might not get paid off for 2 or 3 years in that kind of a project. But if you're investing in trust deeds, those loans, as I said, are short-term, 6 to 12 months, so the loans are turning over. And there is cash that is constantly coming back in, whether you're making an individual loan and it's paying off, or you're investing in a fund where loans are constantly paying off, there is some liquidity. In general, when you make a trust deed investment, like I said, you need to be prepared to keep your money invested for at least 6 months to a year. And in some funds, you may have only a lockup period of a year. Some of them are longer, like 2 years, but you are not locking your funds up forever. So there is liquidity in these investments. From a tax standpoint, investing in trust deeds in your IRA definitely makes sense. Your income that you earn from the interest payments and from the monthly return is accumulating tax-free. Really, the question is, if you had money to invest that you wanted to invest, say, outside of your IRA, and you had money to invest within your IRA, something, for instance, like investing in real estate might make a little more sense outside your IRA, because you have the tax benefits of writing off your depreciation, and you don't need that write-off within your self-directed retirement account. So some asset classes make, if you're deciding between whether to invest your personal money or your IRA money, it might make sense to invest some of that in certain investment opportunities outside of your IRA. But investing in trust deeds makes total sense in your IRA. The money that you get is taxed as ordinary income. So within your IRA, it will grow tax-free and won't be taxed. If you're working with a company like ours, and we are a broker that handles both the raising of capital and the finding deals, your money is professionally managed, meaning that company is going to be looking out for loans that make sense, doing all the due diligence on the loans. And it's very hard in a self-directed IRA to find an investment that is professionally managed. And trust deed investing can be one of those if you're working with a qualified broker or hard money lender, those terms are synonymous, that has the experience to make sure that you're investing in good in good loans. And investing with a purpose, you may not hear this in all presentations on trust deeds. I think the lenders who work with us, I legitimately feel that they think and feel that one of the great benefits of investing in trust deeds is that your money is just not going into a black hole and you're getting a check, but you know that it's going to help investors succeed in their businesses. It's going to better communities and make more affordable housing. So the use of the funds is, I think it feels really good to invest in a project that is doing benefit and helping an investor make money as well and realize their dreams. So it's nice to feel that you're investing in with a purpose. So there are actually three ways to invest in trust deeds, in loans. Number one is making loans yourself. And that's, I'm going to get into the pluses and minuses of all of these in a moment, but making loans yourself basically means you are out there, people are finding you, you're making the deal directly with them and doing all the work involved. And that can be done right in your IRA, of course. You can also make loans using a broker like Investor Source. Again, another name for us is a hard money lender. There are a couple of ways you can invest with a broker. First of all, a broker might originally fund deals on their own. They would put up the capital up front, and then you would take assignment of that loan by basically buying the loan from the broker. The other way, and the way we more commonly do it, is that your name goes directly on the note and deed of trust. And right from the get-go, you have the security of that note and deed of trust in your name. And the third way is to invest in a pooled lending fund where all of the fund actually consists of many, many loans, many trust deed investments. They're all pooled together and you are either buying a share of that pooled lending fund, which is how our company does it, and you become a shareholder from day one, or the pooled lending fund actually takes a loan from you and agrees to pay you a fixed rate of return. Both of those can be done right in your IRA. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the pros and the cons of all three of those ways of investing. First of all, starting with making loans yourself, the pros of that and why some people get into that is that it probably offers the most income potential because not only are you making the rate of interest from the note itself, but lenders like to charge points, which are an origination fee based on a percentage of the loan. So 2 or 3 points would be 2 or 3% of the loan, which you would charge as an upfront fee. And it's nice making those points, no doubt about it. The second one, the second great pro of making your own loans is you have the most control over the choice of loans you're making. If you like the loan that comes to you, you can say, yes, I'll do it. If you don't, I'm not interested, and go on to the next loan. The cons about making your own loans, the biggest one is the tremendous amount of work involved and the demands on your time. I'll give you a story. When I first got into hard money lending, I wanted to learn as much as I could, so I signed up for a course out in Vegas with a great teacher named Dykes Botiford. And he offers a hard money lending class. Class had about 40 people in it. And I would say just about everybody who came there went to learn about hard money lending so that they could do it on their own and wouldn't need a broker to do it with. Well, we had a whole weekend packed with information. By the end of the weekend, we all got a binder literally this big with information. And I would say up to 100% of the people who left that course learned that, boy, they were glad they were going to make loans with a broker, because doing all the work involved with making their own loans was going to be a tremendous expenditure of energy and time. And I'll tell you honestly, if I wasn't doing this business full time, I probably would not be making hard money loans. And I'm glad to be able to help lenders out, do all the steps required to make a successful loan. And I've counted, there are up to 100 steps involved, from finding the borrower, first of all, taking their loan application, screening the borrower, screening the deal, making sure their budget is sufficient, visiting the property to do inspections, servicing the loan, putting the loan documents together, contacting the title company, and on and on and on. And with that, another con is, with all those steps, you have the greatest chance of missing one of those steps and or making an error. And if you're working, if you're doing loans on your own, you have that potential of making those mistakes, because there are so many steps involved. Second way was making a trust deed loan through a broker such as Investors Source. And the pros of that are, as I mentioned, your investments are professionally managed. You avoid those mistakes of doing it on your own. You free up the time that you would be spending on doing all the steps involved in making a loan. You get to actively, even with a broker, you do get to actively participate in which loans you're going to fund. So the broker will bring you a loan to consider, and if you like the loan, you fund it. If you don't like it, you don't fund it. So there is your input into that, of course. And lenders do like having their names right on the promissory note and deed of trust. It gives them a sense of security. The cons of making a loan through a broker: generally, brokers like Investors Source keep the points to get paid and give you the full interest rate, so you would not be receiving those points. The next three points I'm going to compare to lending in a pool lending fund versus working with a broker. There might be fewer opportunities than are available in a pool lending fund. Pool lending fund tends to be looking for money consistently to fund deals. That's not always the case, but a successful pool lending fund will always have more opportunities coming their way and will need more capital. So in general, you're going to have more opportunity with a pool lending fund versus a broker. Again, the cons of working with a broker and funding your own loans is there's less diversification than if you were investing in a fund. A single loan, you're going to be dependent on that loan to be successful. And in most cases, it will be successful, but you do have kind of all your eggs in one basket. Whereas if you were investing in a pooled lending fund, you have a diversification of loans within that fund and many, many loans to spread the risk around. The returns may be lower making your own loan through a broker than in a pool lending fund. The returns can be kind of all over the board between doing it yourself, making your own loans with a broker, or investing in a pool lending fund. I've kind of gone back and forth. You can get rates of return that are higher in a pool lending fund or lower, just depending on the philosophy and the performance of an individual loan versus a pooled lending fund. So the return, you don't know. It could be either one. And then the last one, of course, is investing in a pooled lending fund. There are many advantages to doing that. Again, you get the professional management of a company like ours or another hard money lender, which will avoid those mistakes and omissions. It's the most passive, so it will free up your time. You won't have to be thinking about making loans and all the steps involved. And basically, you're putting in your money and receiving a check back every month from the pool lending fund or reinvesting it back into the fund. As I mentioned, it's the greatest diversification of loans, many loans in the portfolio. So you're sharing the risk amongst all those loans and with the other investors in that fund. Again, likely the most opportunity. And a big one is that your funds are working 24/7, 365. When you're making your own loans, it's great when to have that rate of return. Let's say a note was returning 12% or 10%. It's great while that is active, but once the loan pays off, there inevitably is going to be some time in between loans, and that's going to lower your overall rate of return. Whereas if you are investing in a pooled lending fund, your funds are working 24/7, 365 without a break. Just another pro of working with a broker in an individual loan is, of course, they're doing the marketing and finding the loans for you versus if you're making your own loans. People have to learn about you, that you are making loans, and that takes some time to build up your clientele. And the cons of investing in a pooled lending fund, probably the least amount of direct control because you're basically leaving it up to the fund manager. Some funds have an advisory board, kind of a board of directors that will oversee the operations of the fund. And a good fund is not afraid to have investors and an advisory board, mainly to offer their expertise into the types of loans that are being funded. You may have the least liquidity in a pooled lending fund. You might have a lockup period of a year or 2 years. So it might be a while where you can get your money out. But in general, within a year or 2 years, you put in your request and the fund can make a redemption and you can have some cash available to you. And I put lower returns. Again, some funds have historically lower returns than making your own trustee loans, and others are higher. There are some tools available to a fund that are not available to an individual loan, like using leverage and things like that. So those can help increase the overall return of the fund. And what to look for in a hard money lender and a pooled lending fund, both. You, of course, as in any investment you're doing, you just want to really do a good job screening who you're investing with, look for their experience and track record. Real estate investing has so many quirks to it. We've made upwards of almost 300 loans in the time I've been making loans. And I can say every loan we've made has its quirks involved, and it's not just like lending on a house where it's pretty cut and dry. But there are just so many little nuances of every, the type of construction involved, what they're building, whether it's a commercial loan or a residential loan for business purposes, every one of them has a little bit of a quirk that you have to account for, and you want a lender that has some experience working with those different kinds of quirks. You want transparency. Someone, particularly in a fund where they are going to make sure that they are disclosing the good with the bad, making sure they tell you what kind of loans populate the fund so that you know what you're investing in. And if something does go wrong, you want a fund manager who's going to be upfront about it and not try to hide anything. I've been told by some of our investors that they appreciate the transparency as much or more so than the rate of return that they're getting on the fund. They just want to know what's going on. And you do too. You want to know what's going on in your fund and also if you're making individual loans. Just someone who's going to give you the good and the bad of the loan. Make sure the reputation of your lender or broker is good, not only from the lender side of things, but from the borrower side as well. You, to have a successful long-standing business, you want to a lender who's going to treat not just your lenders, but your borrowers fairly so that they will continue to come back, they will recommend you, and that will keep bringing demand and keep the opportunities available to the lenders robust and continuing to flow all the time. I put humility because, you, as I said, there are so many distinct quirks about this business that you want a lender who, if they have not, if they're not as familiar with a certain deal or something that comes up in a deal, they're not afraid to go out and find someone who has that expertise and make sure they're getting complete information before they dive right in to an area that they're not as familiar with as they might be. And make sure they have a strong team around them. You want them to have people in place who have been around, who are handling all of the myriad aspects of making a good loan. And if that's all on one person, it's been done. And I have lenders who do their own loans, they do them successfully, and they even, some of them raise money and do it as a one-man show. But I would recommend finding a company that really has a good, strong team in place that can handle all of the nuances of private lending for to real estate investors. This is my contact information. And first, before I get into my company a little bit, I'd like to talk about investing, what you do, what you need to get started to invest from your IRA and in your self-directed IRA. And the first thing, which I think many of you have done already, is to make sure you have a really good IRA custodian to work with, like in trust, and working with Andrew and Tony and people like that who are set up to do self-directed IRAs. You would reach out to them and let them know that you want to do private lending either on your own or working with a broker, and they will get you the paperwork that's required to fill out to begin that kind of lending. If it is working with a company like mine, they will reach out to us and we will coordinate together exactly what they need to get started. When money is ready to change hands, we handle very little money actually in our fund. We do handle money and put it into our fund, but if you are investing in a private loan or an individual loan on your own, that money actually gets wired directly to the title company from Entrust, from your IRA custodian. So it bypasses us completely. We're just kind of working as the middleman to set the whole transaction up. When you do get a distribution every month, if you choose to take one, that money goes back into your IRA. Of course, it accumulates tax-free and keeps growing in that account. And if you do invest in a fund like a fund that we have, you can also make the choice to reinvest those funds back into the fund. Just a little bit about my company. We've been We've been making loans about 11 and a half years now. We started out making individual loans where, like I mentioned, you investors funded loans themselves with a note and deed of trust 4 years ago, and we're still doing that kind of lending. 4 years ago, we started a pooled lending fund, and that has been going strong. We have investors who invest privately, their own personal money into that fund, and from their IRA. And we would love to have you involved either funding individual loans or investing in our pooled lending fund. what you, if you would just reach out to me via email or give me a call and we can get into the specifics of a track record and our loan performance, our fund performance over the years. And I'd love to talk to you more about that. But we do have opportunities both in individual trustee loans and pooled lending trustee loans in our fund as well. And I'm going to turn it back over to Tony.
Thank you very much, David, for the wealth of information. I hope everybody enjoyed the presentation. A little bit about what's next at Entrust, and then we'll get into our Q&A. Our upcoming webinar is on December 14th, is preparing your IRA for 2023 taxes and changes. Please register today and join us. If you have any feedback or topic requests, let us know in the survey before you leave. If you need more information on self-directed IRAs, please visit the Learning Center within the Entrust website, theentrustgroup.com, and don't forget to follow us across all social media platforms. At this time, we'll head over to Q&A. Please type your questions into the question box, and we will answer them in the order they were received. I'll read them out loud and then direct the ones to David to answer, and I can answer anything IRA-related. Please remember, we cannot give you any tax, legal, or investment advice, so any questions around those topics, we would ask you to speak with David offline. Having said that, the first question is for you, Dave. If through a broker or a fund, what happens when or if the real estate is foreclosed on or defaulted?
Okay, that's actually a great reason to work with a broker. You know, if there is a foreclosure or a default, first of all, we will try to do everything possible to work out the loan before it gets to that stage. We'll make loan modification if it makes sense to do so. We might do a deed in lieu whereby the property is deeded back to us before it gets to foreclosure, and we would take that property if there's enough equity in lieu of any payments due to us. Fortunately, if you're working with a good company, they won't have too many of those, but they do happen. So if it did get to the point where we couldn't do a workout, we, for some reason, a deed in lieu didn't make sense, and it did go to foreclosure, we would handle, basically we would handle everything at least up to the point of getting to foreclosure. We have an attorney that we normally work with, at least in Colorado, for Colorado foreclosures. We have not had one out of state yet, but we would get the whole process rolling to get it to, we do have attorneys in every state that we lend in that could handle that. And I would suggest you use those attorneys for the foreclosure. And again, if it got that far, we get you to the point of working with the attorney, and then we stay involved every step of the way with you. We wouldn't leave you hanging, and any good company that you were working with would also stay with you and make sure they were working with you through the foreclosure process. You have to be involved because, well, if you're making an individual loan, then the loan is in your name and it's in the deed of trust is in your name, so you have to be involved. If you're in the fund is actually the lender and the fund's name is on the note and deed of trust, and the fund would take care of the whole foreclosure process, which is another advantage of investing in a fund, and that you don't have to worry about that, and the fund would take care of it. And basically the collateral would come back to the fund. The fund would do everything it could to liquidate it, hopefully getting 100% of what is owed back into the fund, and then that money would be reinvested. So I think that answers that question. As far as the expense of the foreclosure in the fund, of course, that's handled. The fund would pay for the foreclosure expenses. If it was individual, technically it would be your responsibility, but when it's come down to it, we've worked in the very few instances where we've had to foreclose, we have actually worked with our borrowers to at least subsidize part of the foreclosure process.
Thank you, David. All right, next question. How have recent trends in increased interest rates impacted trustees as an investment option?
That's a great question. Those rates have started rising in the last few months. So honestly, we are really just at the point of starting to see what the effects of those rate hikes are going to be. We're finding so far probably a little bit more difficult for those who have a refinance as an exit strategy. Maybe not so much harder to get refinanced, but the rates are higher, so it makes it a little bit tougher to do a refinance that makes sense and is still profitable. So we're seeing a little bit of taking a little bit more time for those refinances to happen and to find a lender that is going to offer a rate that still makes the deal profitable under the refi. So rates going up is also what we are waiting to see, and it's starting to come in. We have loans that are starting to they're getting to the point where they're maturing, and the exit strategy is going to be selling the property either as a construction loan or a fix and flip loan. And it's going with those increase of interest rates, that is pushing prices down a little bit. So we are waiting to see if our borrowers are going to be able to get the price they need to make the deal profitable. And because interest rates are higher, there definitely has affected demand out on the market. There are fewer buyers out there. So we're really just at the point of starting to see what that effect is going to be. And so far, we don't have a lot of track record of the final outcome, but we're confident that the loans that we have underwritten, and we always build in, and your lender, you want to make sure if you're the lender, you're building in a nice cushion of at least 25 to 30% loan to value. So even if the prices are being pushed down a little bit, which we think they are, and there are fewer buyers out there because loan rates are higher, loans should still be successful because that spread has been built in there. So we're confident that the loans we've made have been underwritten really well. And even though the prices may be a little bit lower than what our borrowers projected they would be at the beginning of the loan, we still think they're going to be very successful for them and for paying off the loan as well.
Great, thank you. Next one is a lot of questions lumped into one, but I see this is asked from many folks, so we can tackle a lot at once. I'll give them to you all at the same time. Do you operate with a PPM? Do you have a maximum loan to value? Do you operate in select states or anywhere in the US? Are you accredited investors only? And what's the minimum investment? And if we need to retouch those, just let me know. We can reread them.
Let's see.
So let's start again. Do you operate with a PPM?
We do operate. Our fund operates with a PPM. So yes, it's a SEC compliant offering document, which every investor gets before they can invest. And if you're investing in trusted investments individually through us, those are not with a PPM, but we do have a qualification form for you to fill out, which just says to us that you're qualified as an investor. It also gives us some of the parameters you would be looking for in making a loan. But short answer for investing in the fund, Yes, there is a PPM. The minimum investment is $50,000. The
are you open to accredited investors or all investors?
Right. Yes, it is open to accredited investors, and you do need to be verified as an accredited investor. So we have a third-party accreditation provider that takes care of all that. Sometimes it flies through, no problem at all. Other times it's a little bit more of a, it takes a little time, but ultimately we can get you verified as an accredited investor, if you are one, of course.
Do you operate in all states or select?
Not in all states. I believe we're in six states right now, primarily in Colorado and Wyoming. We have been registered now in Florida, Massachusetts, Nebraska, and Washington State. We've done some deals in there primarily as additional collateral on some of the loans we've funded, but we are originating loans in those states as well. We're not in any rush to go nationwide. We like to do things one step at a time. We're not necessarily looking to be the biggest, but we want to do things, we want to be the best and do things really well. So our company will roll out slowly into surrounding states.
Great. In your tenure in this space, how often have loans gone into default?
Knock on wood, very rarely. I would put our track record up with anybody in the business. I can really only think of one foreclosed property that actually came back, and the lenders took over. They actually wound up making a profit on it. That's not our business model at all. Our business model is to make successful loans. I will say right now, in the name of transparency, we did make a land development loan down in Pueblo, Colorado. It was the largest loan we ever funded. And that one is one of the few that did not go well. It was a $4.5 million loan, and we had to take a discount on that one and take a discounted payoff on that. Not our finest moment, but we have learned a tremendous amount from that and are very confident that we won't make that type of loan again. And as I said, we have definitely learned from our mistakes on that. But every single loan in our fund prior to that and everyone since then have gone extremely well and have all paid off in full. And then the loans we've done individually, again, very few, I can count them on one hand, that did not pay off in full and that we had to even go down the road of starting a foreclosure.
Thank you. If someone works with a broker, can they select only the loans that have collaterals in the areas of their preference?
Yeah, you want to make sure if you're working with a broker, they're not pushing you into a loan that they want you to fund in an area where they want you to fund. You want to make sure you're working with a broker that is going to hopefully offer you a wide variety of opportunities in the areas you want to, in the type of loans you want to lend on, and in the geographical areas you want to lend in. You know, the lenders that I've met in this business, I think for the most part, do want to work. They do have scruples. There is integrity. I try to stay away from those who don't work in that arena. But yes, working with a broker, you should be able to take your time to be able to look over the loan very carefully, see if it meets your parameters. And if you decide you don't want to fund that, where the broker doesn't hold that against you for the next loan, that they realize that, you know, we all have different preferences, and they should be one that wants to work within your comfort zone.
Thank you. Is your fund evergreen, or do you offer specific funds?
Our fund is an evergreen fund, which means that there is no ending date. I think I have that right. Now, let's see, Evergreen. Our fund does not have an end date. So we have a cap. It's kind of a soft cap of $100 million assets under management. Excuse me. Right now we're $15 million assets. Excuse me. Let me get a drink here. Our assets under management is at $15 million now, so we're not really near that cap. So, and it's actually a soft cap where we can decide to raise that. So at the moment, no plans to discontinue the fund. It will continue as long as it remains profitable and serving our investors. We do have an advisory board. So our advisory board, for the most part, is, as the name says, advising, particularly on larger loans like $2.5 million and up. We'll have a meeting about that. If it was ever decided that we felt like the fund needed to discontinue operations and wind down, we would have a discussion about it. But right now, plans are to keep the fund going indefinitely. And, you know, as far as you getting your investment out, if that's a concern, we want to keep getting to the point where there's a rapid, that loans are moving rapidly in and then paying off. So there's always new loans coming in and loans paying off where that can generate enough capital to get those who want to make their redemptions. They can leave the fund when they want or stay in as long as they want. I mean, I'll just a little. Most of our investors have stayed in the fund. Even when we had that mishap down on the Pueblo loan, our investors, just about every one of them, stayed with us and are doing extremely well since that happened and have kept their money in the fund. But we will do, and a good fund manager will do everything they can to redeem your shares when you need them.
Great. Thank you, David. And our final question, are you getting your borrowers from banks or are these borrowers that have trouble getting traditional financing?
That is a great question, too. I'm glad that was brought up. One of the, I would say, actually misconceptions of hard money lending or trust deed investing is that you're working with down and out borrowers who absolutely cannot get loans from the bank and don't have the credit to do that. In some cases, that might be true, although if they don't have enough wherewithal behind them, you know, if they really bring nothing to the table, we're not going to make a loan to them either. But the fact is that actually we work with a lot of bankable borrowers who come to us and come to other brokers and hard money lenders for other reasons than that their credit is not good or that they can't get a bank loan. But like a fix and flip loan, it's very hard to go to a bank and get a loan on a distressed property. There are banks that will do that, but they are difficult to find. And a hard money lender or broker is geared up to do that type of thing and welcomes those kinds of deals. And construction loans, again, we work with some of the best builders in Colorado for, that's where our bread and butter is, who can get bank funding, but find it a lot easier, less hoops to jump through working with a lender like us who knows their business, has worked with them before, and can get their loans funded quicker, again, without all of the red tape. That doesn't mean we're not, or a good lender is not underwriting the loan thoroughly, because you absolutely need to underwrite every single loan very thoroughly. But they come to us because I like to think of us and other lenders as lenders who lend with common sense. I mean, the numbers all matter and the documentation matters, but we can see things that may not fit in the bank's box. And you can't even blame all of that on the bank, because banks are so highly regulated, they have to fit in the box. And if their loans don't fit exactly in there, maybe the amount they can bring to the table is a little bit less than a bank would require. But with us, they can put up a piece of additional collateral to make that work. We can make that work. And I think that's why we and other lenders have a business in private lending, is because the box that banks have to fit into just doesn't work for all of the borrowers and builders out there. Some of them also might be doing multiple projects at the same time, and banks in many cases are reluctant to fund those kind of borrowers. They like to fund one at a time. And we won't jump into that either until we know a customer really well. But if they have proven themselves to be a good builder, or commercial builder, or whatever it is, and we've worked with them before, we'll fund them on multiple projects, and again on projects that the bank just is not all that geared up to, the loans that they're not geared up to be making.
Thank you very much, David, and thank you very much, everybody, for attending. We hope that you learned a lot today about both self-directed IRAs and the topic that was discussed. And if there's any questions on either side, please feel free to reach out to us directly.